let's begin with reorg. It has been a while, and the last couple presidents have tried reorgs of their own without much success. So is it time, and is this administration going to have any better luck?
Well, it's always time to look at whether or not the organization needs to be realigned in order to accomplish and get in sync with the priorities of the administration. And the best time to do that is at the front end. Some administrations have tried this more than once. In fact, you go all the way back to the Reagan administration. It took President Reagan about a year, but eventually he brought in an outside team. It was called the Grace Commission and had hundreds of outsiders who came in and examined every function of the government. They produced 29 volumes of reports and recommendations. So it was extremely comprehensive. And there were a few elements of it that ended up pretty dramatically changing how the government functioned, although in some cases it took a decade. But it's rare to do it at this comprehensive a level as was laid out in the executive order back on March the 13th.
And in contrast to that Grace Commission approach, kind of the curious thing they're curious about the way they're going about it anyway is that they're relying almost entirely on the agencies themselves through their secretaries to come back to OMB with their own reorg plans, which is, you know, effectively report on areas where they're wasting money internally. Maybe I'm too cynical, but I can't think of many examples where agencies themselves have volunteered to stop doing certain missions or said that some of their own activities weren't worthwhile.
Certainly in the last 30 years, there are very few examples of that sort of thing, although during the Clinton administration, there were a number of recommendations that came out of the agencies. But as you point out, that's the starting point of this. So if you look at Section 2 of that executive order, the first section, Section A, puts the responsibility on the head of each agency developing and then submitting to the director of OMB that proposed plan to reorganize the agency. But then there are a couple of additional steps. One is there's a public comment period, and it's not clear, by the way, from the executive order itself, whether the public will be commenting on those agency plans or separate from and independent of those agency plans. Here at the Professional Services Council, our intent is to prepare to do both. We intend to submit our ideas, that is, as soon as the notice is published in the Federal Register, inviting the public to make those suggested improvements. We have some suggested improvements that we will make. And then if and when those agency plans are made available to us to comment, we'll provide comment to the director of OMB on those as well. Regardless of which or both of those paths the government follows, ultimately it comes back to the director to develop his own plan. But in doing so, I would note that he's supposed to call upon outside experts kind of as he sees fit to provide commentary to him as well. So it's almost like there's a second public comment period, because the executive order itself, it says the director shall consult with the head of each agency. Obviously, that's what you would expect him to do. Mm-hmm. And consistent with applicable law, with persons or entities outside the federal government with relevant expertise in organizational structure and management. That's almost an echo of the Grace Commission, because that's, in fact, exactly how the players on the Grace Commission were picked, as being outside with relevant expertise in organization and management. So this is going to be very interesting, and it should play out probably over a pretty long period of time, Jared. You have at least a 180-day cycle at the front end. The director of OMB doesn't have to take 180 days. That's his deadline. He could do it in 10 days if he's got a plan ready to go. And so the real question becomes, all the input turns into a final plan. When will we see that plan, and when will it be aimed for implementation?
Yeah, you raise good points. Even though there is not a formal commission, there are plenty of opportunities for outside comment. But purely from the perspective of the federal contractors that you represent, you know, are there particular challenges in dealing with the federal government that are prime targets to be addressed through a reorg?
Well, I think there's three big issues that that matter a lot to government contractors. Number one is, how do you get better alignment of the objectives of the agency and whatever program it's in and whatever support the contractors are providing? Better alignment of those programs with the resources necessary to execute them. Because all too often we see disconnects between program objectives, program goals, and the actual amount of money and people available to call those into play. The second, and it's related to that, is those programs need to actually not just be input-oriented, so many labor hours, so many labor categories, but output-oriented. What results is the government trying to achieve? How are you going to measure those results? And how you then translate those results and the cost of those results into a way of determining whether you're getting value for money? These are critical to contractors because we feel that most of the time, if the government has well-defined objectives that are within the capability and capacity of contractors to achieve those objectives, we can do so at greater efficiency and at less cost than can be done otherwise.
Interesting also that this effort is being undertaken entirely within the executive branch, at least at this point, that they've not even asked Congress for the fast-track reorganization authority that Obama tried to get a few years back. Would you expect at some point that they're going to have to go to Congress to ask for some additional authorities to do whatever ends up in the final reorg plan?
It's almost certain that there would be activities Congress would have to undertake here. And the executive order actually foresees that. In the end, it asks that the director, as he submits his proposed plan to the president, that he include in that plan any necessary legislation or administrative actions that the president would have to take. Of course, Congress will have an interest even if legislation is not required, because agency programs, agency activities, ultimately, it's the question of why do we have a government? What is that government there for? How are you going to pay for it? These are clearly within the purview of the legislative branch as well as the executive branch. And I suspect that Congress will have a say not only at the end, but along the way as well.
And so the sequencing is kind of interesting here, too, and this is a good point to pivot to the new budget blueprint, which itself has some kind of reorg-y aspects to it, eliminating programs, eliminating 19 agencies. So even though the final reorg plan is still not done, the administration's already laid down its cards on a lot of where it wants to go through the budget.
In that budget blueprint that you mentioned, I think it was released March 16th, so it was right after this reorganization executive order was out. That blueprint did make a number of proposals, alluded to a number of proposals for dramatic reductions and in some cases elimination of agencies. But the details of those proposals still remain to be developed and released. It's a very high level, and you really can't tell exactly what programs, what line items in the budget, what appropriation accounts would be directly affected by this. So we're watching very closely to see what comes out when the actual budget submission is presented. I believe that's aimed for late May or perhaps early June if it's delayed a little bit. That's, by the way, not going to be much time for Congress to complete its work by September 30th, which would be the end of the current fiscal year, or October 1st, the start of the next fiscal year. So it's going to be a tight time squeeze to get to an actual appropriation. But that'll be for FY18. Mm-hmm. There's almost no way that this executive order will have any plans in place in order to affect that. In fact, if you look at the schedule, the agencies would not be submitting their plans until next September. That happens to be the same time frame in which those agencies will be submitting their budgets to OMB for FY19.
Right.
And so you may actually have some interplay between the budget and the efficiency and effectiveness plans for the FY19 budget. And that's the earliest that you'd be able to see that come into play. But in the meantime, this raises a very serious question. If you're going to be reorganizing in fiscal year 19, how do you know where to cut in fiscal year 18 that your organization and your resources are lined up? This is really where contractors, I think, have a vital interest because our success, our ability to be successful in supporting the government is that integration and alignment of programs and resources. And so if there are open-ended questions, you're likely to have some chaos and confusion there that will not lend itself to efficiency or effectiveness.
And as you allude to, by the way, we still do not have fiscal year 17 appropriations bills. Sticking with the FY18 blueprint, though, and I know we don't have a lot of details about it yet. PSC, I know, has said that you support the increase in defense spending. Any particular reaction or concerns to the domestic side where there are widespread reductions?
I think reductions definitely have to be looked at. And in many cases, there's no basis for analyzing those reductions, you know, because if you actually reduce money without reducing the work that's expected to be done, either by the agency or by supporting contractors, then you create real chaos and confusion. Clearly, it's within the purview of the administration to establish its priorities and to align the resources, the budgets, and the people with those priorities. But right now, that alignment is not at all clear, and so you're going to end up either wasting money or leaving important work undone.
Well, and yeah, I suppose it's potentially additional work for your members to do, but there's only so much work out there that's not inherently governmental.
There's the inherently governmental boundary, and that does, obviously, the government's going to do those things that only the government can do, you know, have the program direction and the contracting officer decisions that are clearly inherently governmental that goes into that process. I think the basic posture that says let's perform the work where the capability and capacity and the efficiency and the effectiveness are the greatest, I think you also have to look at what the results are, right? So even the increased defense spending, it's important for that increase in spending to actually be oriented to achieve the objectives that the government is saying it wants to achieve with that, which is increasing the readiness, increasing the capacity and capability of the military forces to be able to keep America safe.
All right, David, we'll have to leave it there for time. Thanks, as always, for joining us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, and look forward to continued adventures as this unwinds in the coming weeks. Thank you, Jared.